Coming up on Tech News Today, did Apple announce anything good? Did Nokia announce anything good? They both had lots of announcements. Also, Microsoft taking on Google Glass and HTC doing a watch. Who wins in that battle? All that and more coming up.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
This is Tech News Today for Tuesday, October 22nd, 2013. Tech News Today is brought to you by Shutterstock.com. With over 28 million high-quality stock photos, illustrations, vectors, and video clips, Shutterstock helps you take your creative projects to the next level. For 25% off your new account, go to Shutterstock.com and use offer code TNT1013. And by IT Pro TV. Are you looking to upgrade your IT skills or prepare for certification? IT Pro TV offers engaging and informative tutorials streamed to your Roku, computer, or mobile device. For 50% off the lifetime of your account, go to itpro.tv/TNT and use the code TNT50. And by Personal Capital. With Personal Capital, you'll finally have your financial life in one place and get a clear view of everything you own. Best of all, it's free. To sign up, go to personalcapital.com/TNT. Welcome to Tech News Today. I'm Tom Merritt.
I'm Sarah Lane.
I'm Aya Zakhtar.
I'm Jason Howell.
And this is the show that keeps you up to date on the most important stories in the tech world, starting each time with the top 10 stories of the day in the news fuse. Apple announced new iPads today. The iPad Air will start with an A7 chip at $499 and be available November 1st. The iPad Mini with Retina display comes in November sometime, starting at $399. The company also unveiled new iPad covers for both models. We also got new computers. The Mac Pro, starting at $2,999, launches in December. New 13 and 15-inch MacBook Pros with Haswell processors are available today. And finally, along with free versions of iWork and iLife apps, including GarageBand, OS X Mavericks was announced, available today for free.
Who cares about Apple when you could talk about Nokia? The company unveiled the 10.1-inch Lumia 2520, a $500 Windows RT 8.1 tablet with LTE shipping this fall. The company also announced two 6-inch smartphones today, the $739 Lumia 1520. It'll go to market Q4 of 2013. And the $339 Lumia 1320, which will follow in the first quarter of next year. And Nokia's Asha range of devices continue with the Asha 500, Asha 502 and Asha 503. All three will be available in red, green, yellow, cyan, white, and black, shipping in Q4 of this year.
You get to prepare your Windows phone because here come some major new apps now at Nokia World. Nokia announced that Vine, Flipboard, and Instagram are all coming to Windows Phone. Not third-party apps, actual first-party apps here. If you like games, FIFA 14 and Temple Run 2 are both coming to Microsoft's mobile OS. Nokia showed off a total of 23 new apps.
BlackBerry Messenger returned to iOS and Android yesterday with one hip new feature added since its last attempt to roll out. Waiting lists. As you may recall, BlackBerry tried to launch for iOS and Android last month, but their servers melted down when too many users got hold of unofficial versions. Those who signed up in advance can use the apps right away, while the rest must enter an email address and wait their turn. Workarounds to jump the queue have already begun to circulate.
Microsoft's Surface 2 tablet launch just happens to be a nationwide in-store launch event today, of all days. But the event didn't really drive big crowds, at least at midnight, and also at least in the Microsoft store's San Francisco location in the Westfield Center, which is downtown for anybody who's not familiar with San Francisco. One of 10 locations holding Surface launch events, though, where by about 10 p.m., roughly 50 people had assembled in line. So
that's good.
There's that.
According to Bloomberg, HTC is working on a smartwatch that can take pictures. The device would be based on Android and could be released in the second half of next year. Now, of course, there's no official word from HTC on the matter.
Netflix added 1.29 million new United States subscribers in Q2 to reach 31.09 million domestic subs, passing HBO. Non-U.S. subscribers rose by 1.44 million to 9.19 million. All of those subscribers made the company profitable, too, at $31.8 million in profit, or 52 cents a share. Revenue climbed 22% to $1.11 billion. All of this beat analysts' expectations, which drove the stock price close to $400 during the day yesterday. Netflix also acknowledged that Orange is the New Black is one of their top marketing tools, but said most viewership was going to deals like AMC's Breaking Bad or The Walking Dead.
UK Prime Minister David Cameron has weighed in that Facebook's decision to allow videos showing people being decapitated back on its pages was, quote, irresponsible. Facebook reversed a temporary ban on such videos, saying that users should be free to watch and condemn such content. Mr. Cameron tweeted, "It's irresponsible of Facebook to post beheading videos, especially without a warning. They must explain their actions to worried parents."
Google has released Project Shield, a program meant to help small websites stay online during a distributed denial of service attack. Google also launched a digital attack map in partnership with Arbor Networks. The map updates hourly and animates anonymous DDoS events from 270 internet service providers worldwide. Alexis Santos at Engadget points out that since DDoS origins are often forged, the map may not always be entirely accurate.
According to the Wall Street Journal, there will be a brand new contestant in the developing wearable computing world, and it's none other than Microsoft. The journal says Redmond is currently testing prototypes of an internet-connected eyewear. There is no details as to when or if this product will ever ship for Microsoft.
This episode of Tech News Today brought to you by Shutterstock.com. You'll find the perfect image or video for your next creative project there. I've done it. I made a whole book trailer out of it using both the images and the videos. Whether you need it for a video or a publication or an advertisement or any type of project, you can choose from over 28 million high-quality stock photos, illustrations, vectors, and video clips. They get 20,000 new images in the catalog every day. Every time you visit, you're going to find something new. And they review each image individually for content and quality before they put it in the library. So you know it's going to be good stuff. You've got flexible pricing, too. You can choose individual image packs or a monthly subscription. Download 25 images a day on the standard subscription. It's a ton every day. Download any image in any size, and you pay just that one price. Plus, it's a global marketplace. They have multilingual customer service in more than a dozen international countries and full-time customer support throughout the week. You got to try it. Go try Shutterstock today. Sign up for a free account. No credit card needed. Just start an account. Begin using Shutterstock to help imagine what your next project could be like and save your favorite images to a Lightbox to review later. That way you can collect all the things you think you might need. Once you decide to purchase, use offer code TNT1013 and new accounts will receive 25% off any package. That's Shutterstock.com. And for 25% off new accounts, use offer code TNT1013. We thank Shutterstock for their support of Tech News Today. Let's start with the Apple announcement. Sarah Lane, you and Leo and Andy Anatko and
Alex Lindsay.
Alex Lindsay, we're covering it like a barn full of paint.
Thank you, Tom. We were hoping to come across that way. No, it was actually really nice because Apple doesn't always live stream their keynotes, but they did today. So we were able to follow along and kind of do our Mystery Science Theater thing without refreshing the live blogs a million times. And we got quite a bit of stuff. Let's start with the iPads because it was technically an iPad event and everybody was excited about that. The full-size iPad has been renamed to the iPad Air, which surprisingly was not leaked. I mean, nobody even threw that out as a joke in any headline that I ever read. That was kind of surprising. Starting at $499, somewhat surprisingly, the iPad 2 will be the sole survivor of the old models. That'll be priced at $399, which seems really high for a non-Retina iPad 2. That thing is pretty old. So that's the full-sized lineup. Starts shipping November 1st online and in retail stores. As far as we know, no pre-orders, which is a little bit weird.
Yeah, you can configure them online right now. You can go to store.apple.com and then see what a price could be for a 128-gigabyte iPad Air on Verizon. But you can't actually hit pre-order or save for later or anything. It's kind of an odd thing that I was testing out earlier.
Well, Leo and Alex were talking about that after the announcement, and it just sounds like they're having a really hard time with those Retina displays, and they still can't peg down, especially in the Mini, exactly when you're going to get it.
Speaking of the iPad mini, we did get Retina, which was something that I was really, if all else failed, that's what I wanted today to give me. So I was pretty excited about that. It also has the same number of pixels as the iPad Air. So in a way, the Retina mini would be even crisper because, of course, it's a more compact version of that. You've got the nice thinner bezel on the new iPad Air as well. In fact, they touted it as just a single pound. But of course, the mini stays to be that nice smaller model. They both have the A7 chip. They're both 64-bit. iPad mini is, they're saying, 10 hours of battery life. It'll start at $399 for the 16-gigabyte Wi-Fi model. The original iPad mini will still be available, as some were predicting. Its price has been slashed down to $299. It was started at $339, I believe. So it's a nice, healthy price drop for the mini. I don't know. I mean, before we move on to some of the other announcements that Apple had today, are we excited? Do we feel like, as far as the iPad line goes, this is enough? I personally was pretty bummed that Touch ID wasn't at least part of the new full-size iPad. I got to start remembering to call it the iPad Air. Mm-hmm. I guess that's something that they'd like to leave exclusive to the iPhone 5S, maybe for a little while, where they iron out kinks and are able to tout it as very, very special. But it bothers me, as somebody who uses an iPad almost as often as my iPhone, that they didn't match things there.
Yeah, I agree. I look at the iPad Air, and if I didn't have an iPad, I wouldn't be disappointed. I would say, like, oh, that's a very nice machine. It's got a Retina display. It's pretty. It's thin. It's light. But I have an old iPad that works just fine. I haven't had any complaints about it, and I don't see a reason to go drop another $500 on this one just to get the A7 processor and a nicer look.
Yeah, looking at the designs, though, that seems to be a little screwy. So we've got the iPad mini with Retina, iPad mini, we've got iPad 2, and iPad Air. So we have this basic naming mess when it comes to what product do you have. Then you have the form factors, the iPad 2 with the older bezel, the lower resolution. So that's it just seems like these old remnants, they're still hanging around. I'm not really sure why they're still doing that other than pricing and saying starts at $399 or something like that.
Sure.
The iPad Air, though, I was impressed with the design refresh because it does seem a little old, and you have to have something that looks new, maybe matching the iPad mini. No upgrades to the cameras. I know people are like, why would you take tablet photos? They both have 5-megapixel cameras, the mini and the Air. I was hoping that maybe someday an 8-megapixel camera would show up on this because, yes, I'm one of the fools who takes pictures with a tablet. But effectively, the mini really is simply a shrunk-down version of the Air. You got an A7 chip, MIMO, 10-hour battery life. I don't see why you wouldn't bother going with that, especially with that crazy resolution.
Well, I think, you know, then it turns into what are you comfortable with? Mm-hmm. It's almost a conversation of people with phones saying, is a 4-inch phone fine? Or do you want to, you know, something more like a phablet size? It really just turns into portability and comfort.
Matter of taste.
Yeah.
You know, some people just like to have that smaller screen. I don't, but I understand that not everybody has the same needs or the same wants.
Exactly. I mean, it's funny now that there's a Retina Mini, I realize, well, the only thing I could say that was wrong with the Mini was that it wasn't a Retina Mini, but yeah, I actually do prefer the larger size. So if I'm being honest, iPad Air is really the product that I want more, even though I'm glad that they've caught up with each other screen size, resolution size, rather. Should we move on to some of the other announcements from the keynote?
Yeah, I'm downloading OS X Mavericks right now.
Yeah, that was fun. Not only will Mavericks be free as an upgrade, but it is available right now. In fact, the free upgrade really surprised some folks. And this goes back, it's not just anybody who's already running Mountain Lion. It goes back to, gosh, what was it?
Snow Leopard.
Yeah. So that's like over the last, if you're running a Mac that you bought over the last 6 years, you can go ahead and upgrade to Mavericks.
That's true. It's 2007. I was just shocked because that's something that Apple usually doesn't do.
Sure.
And the fact is, I believe if you're running Snow Leopard, it's not like you have to buy every other copy. And up to this, you buy this new version with Mavericks, and actually it's free. So you download Mavericks and you're all set.
Well, you know, and Leo and Alex were making a good point is for the most part, and Apple talked about this as well, that over 200 million iOS devices upgraded to iOS 7 in the first 5 days of iOS 7 being available. For the most part, Apple people love upgrading. You know, it's like new software, let's upgrade. You know, it's one of these, you call it herd mentality, whatever you want to call it. It's something that folks like to do. When you give something like Mavericks away for free, then you end up selling more hardware. And I'm sure that's what Apple's thinking. It just makes sense. And that's the company that they've built, and that works for them. So we're all going, wow, cool, free. Well, their hardware is still pretty expensive, but it ends up working out for them, I think.
Well, when you compare it to Microsoft, most people buy a laptop with Windows on it. They don't think about the price of it. They consider it free. And then when Windows 8.1 or a point upgrade comes out, it's a free update. And this is Apple saying we're doing the same thing, except we're just never going to have, presumably, a Windows 7 or a Windows 8 where we do charge you if you want to upgrade. We're just going to say, you know what? You always get the newest, latest, best because we want to sell hardware. That's where we make our money, and that's why they can afford to do it. You're exactly right.
Yeah, then the iLife updates, they are free now with iOS or Macs. So now they're just freeing up software so they can sell more and more hardware, like you're saying. Was there any mention of in-app purchases when it came to instruments? Because that was the rumor for something like GarageBand, where you'd get the app for free, but if you wanted to get maybe more effects or more instruments.
I thought you already could do in-app purchases in GarageBand, but you also had to pay for it, and now they just got rid of the need to pay for it.
That's right. Okay. That's GarageBand specifically, though.
Okay, so I just was curious about that. And then there was also this focus on basically a lot of cloud management when it came to iWork. This idea of collaborative stuff, a lot more like Google Docs and Office 365, right?
Yeah, exactly. For the first time, and you know, in anybody who was watching the announcement, there was a bit of a goofy little thing where they were doctoring up an image of Eddie Q as if he was on a magazine cover.
The greatest doctoring ever.
I don't know. It was kind of like a two-man comedy show that wasn't very funny. But what was cool was the real-time collaborative efforts. This is something that on TNT, it's like, well, we use Google Docs because that's sort of our best real-time solution, even though it's certainly limiting. So this is certainly Apple's iWork suite, just catching up to the functionalities of that sort of thing. What really works for people is you want to be able to collaborate in real time from different places.
You do have to have an iCloud account, but you can get an iCloud account on Windows. It does tend to work better for folks who are already operating within the OS X universe, I suppose, because there's no education level. But if somebody's on Windows and they've got iCloud, it's going to work just fine for them. I just to let you know, I ordered a 15-inch MacBook Pro already. I've been in the market for a laptop for a while now. Mine is 3 years old, which for me is incredibly ancient. But not because I was so excited with what they did here. I mean, the Haswell processor, frankly, is the most exciting thing.
Yeah, we got Haswell processors for the line of MacBook Pros. 13-inch MacBook Pro is going to start at $1,299 for the 2.4 gigahertz dual-core i5. Some folks said i5. 4 gigabytes of RAM, 128 gigabytes solid-state drive shipping today. You've got the 15-inch MacBook Pro also shipping today, starting at, $1,999, so $2,000 for that. But, you know, we'd also heard about the Mac Pro. Mac Pro is finally gotten a sticker price. The base model is $29.99. Yep, and that's a base model. So I don't know what the most souped up version would be. More like $54.99 or something like that. It'll be available in December. Yeah. And that's, we didn't actually get any more information than that. We also, if you were following the announcement, noticed that there was a lot of emphasis on 4K and the ability to be able to handle really, really large-scale video projects. You had quotes from Hollywood video editors saying that more than ever, this is something that's just going to revolutionize our processes. And we're the professionals. We're the people who need the most power available. But we didn't really hear much about what kind of display you might enjoy that 4K video on. We might have gotten something like that. We certainly didn't get an Apple branded anything.
It seems to assume that this is for professionals who already have 4K screens because they're working in that. So
I guess so.
Apple's not going to make that, which is a change. It's Apple kind of redirecting towards the professional and saying, you know what, we are still for the pros. We are still for the video editors, which a lot of people felt with Final Cut 10 that they were moving away from that and saying we're going to be pretty much just for consumers these days. So
this $3,000 machine will be a great machine to run Premiere on. Because, I mean, Final Cut Pro, this idea of like, oh, we're working professionals. We want to use the Mac Pro to run. They're not going to run a Final Cut Pro 10. That thing is a mess. I mean, $3,000, you can buy a really well-equipped PC. This concept of, oh, I'm going to shell out a ton of money for an Apple product that has limited software when it comes now to creative stuff. Because Adobe's really caught up. This might be this little, yeah, we got pro stuff. I don't really think this is Apple's focus, nor will it be some kind of huge success. It just doesn't seem like it's the time for the Mac Pro.
It still just looks like a little trash can that you put on your desk.
It's a $3,000 trash can.
I know it's very cool and so many features, and boy, am I impressed, but it looks like a little trash can.
Apple not the only one announcing things. Nokia World kicked off today, and Nokia announced a ton of stuff. I think the thing that caught most people's eye is the Lumia 2520, a $499 Windows RT tablet. So Microsoft, although they will soon own Nokia and the RT tablet, now not the only manufacturer of an RT tablet again. It's LTE coming before the winter. They said fall, but we're in the autumn already. Coming to the United States, UK, and Finland. 2.2 gigahertz Snapdragon processor 800, 640 nit screen, red and white glossy or cyan and black matte. That's blue cyan, by the way, anybody who doesn't know. They claimed that the optional Nokia power keyboard, which is $150, can charge this thing up to 50% in 40 minutes. Gives an extra 5 hours of battery life. Also has two USB ports in that cover there. Lumia 1520 is the new big phone, 6-inch screen, $749, coming in Q4 2013. It gives you an extra column of live tiles because it's so big. They also have the Lumia 1320, $339 coming in Q4. That's a 6-incher as well, but it's a Snapdragon 400, only a dual-core processor. Also announced the new Asha phones that Sarah mentioned in the news fuse and the Nokia DC50 wireless charging plate. That's a Qi standard charging plate for $99 for compatible Lumias. Any Lumia that can do wireless charging, this will work with it. Ayaz, which one of these turned your head the most? Which one got you interested? Any?
I don't know if those are the same answer, though. What turned my head the most is that 10-inch tablet because it still exists, and it's a curiosity to me. A 10-inch Windows RT tablet with LTE. I think LTE is a great feature to have in a tablet in general, but it's running Windows RT. And it seems like Nokia has this pattern of backing Microsoft products a little early, because this RT thing eventually looks like it's going to morph into Windows Phone, or it's going to combine or commingle at some point. You're going to have the same applications. So it's kind of an oddity right now, but in the future, it seems like it's going to be a great idea. The fact is Nokia is coming out with this pretty soon, and it's a brand new product. I just don't know if there's enough app support for a device like that for $500. The thing that I'm most interested in is that larger Nokia Lumia. I think it's the 1520. Yeah, that one, the 6-inch.
$749 unsubsidized, so that shouldn't be too bad on a subsidized price.
Very expensive, unsubsidized, right. So it should be about $200, $300 maybe max on a contract. 1080p display. I think that's when you start really enjoying all of the extra information you can get on a Windows phone. All the tiles, all the information right there, because you have a higher resolution screen. Even though it's a 6-inch device, instead of it being like the old Windows phones where you could have any screen size, but they all had the same resolution, this will be a sharper image. And, of course, it's got that 20-megapixel camera. So it's going to be really great to show that stuff off. So I think that phone's going to be interesting in the long run, because Windows Phone, I think, has a pretty good future, especially with those apps coming up.
Lumia 1320, $339 unsubsidized. That's a pretty cheap price. Sarah, anything to say about these?
Well, okay. The Lumia 1520 is definitely, it catches my eye because, you know, it's the guy that's got all the good stuff. When I look at something like the 1320, yes, the price is a lot more attractive. It's way too big. You know, it doesn't have the fancy camera. It comes in a variety of colors that I don't really care about, but a lot of people do. That's fine. No, it doesn't really get my motor running because I don't know.
Doesn't get you on the highway?
As soon as I was like, am I going to finish that sentence?
I
guess I am.
Just start singing. Well, why not?
But there was that rumor of the Nokia, those little shuffle-like MP3 players. We didn't see anything like that, right? Because I didn't see any announcements about this treasure tag NFC thing. Did that pop up or did I miss it this morning?
I didn't hear anything mentioned about it myself. It was all about the 1520 and the 2520. That's what everybody's raving about. And the fact that Nokia did a tablet. They said they were going to do it. It wasn't a big surprise, but now it's finally here. And it is an RT tablet, which keeps the price down. I'm with you. Jury's out on whether this is actually a smart move for Nokia or not, especially because Nokia is, again, as I mentioned, going to be part of Microsoft. So now Microsoft's going to have two RT tablets, and no one else in the world is going to be making them if that deal ends up going through, which we expect that it will.
What I find frustrating is the fact that the Nokia designs are very pretty. These are really nice looking. This is a nice looking tablet. You know, mm-hmm. instead of having the same old, I was so tired of seeing a bunch of Samsung devices or Motorola devices. Everything was just black. Everything is the same freaking slab look. Everything. And the Nokia is actually bold enough to do colors on things like tablets, and their design is just, I just think it just evokes all of the whole tile interface. The fact that Nokia has this beautiful design, but they stuck it with RT just confuses me. They should be going with Intel at some point, and then we'll see what happens when Microsoft decides to muck with that.
Now, one thing about, oh, go ahead, Sarah.
Well, I was just going to say, wireless charging plates. I mean, why don't they catch on more? You know, you sort of see this thrown in here and there. It's like, that's a cool idea. But nobody seems to really care that much. Is it because we need them in cars more? Or, you know,
we were
places?
All excited when Palm had their hockey puck, right? You know, and like, ooh, wireless charging. But it doesn't.
I still think it's really cool. It kind of turns into one of these things where you're like, yeah, nobody really. We're all just using our regular chargers.
I think the one positive out of this for everybody is the fact that the Lumia 1520 has good specs. You know, Microsoft has been following the Apple model a little, saying we're not going to have the best specs in these phones, but it's going to run fairly. It's going to run the operating system really well, and it has. But this is a quad-core 2.2 gigahertz Snapdragon 800, 2 gigabytes of RAM, 32 gigabytes of internal storage, 20 megapixel camera, not the 40 megapixel camera. They kind of dialed it back a little bit there, but I don't think you need a 40 megapixel camera. And people say that it's the Windows Phone 8 screams on this thing. So I think they've got a really good phone. They've got increasing market share, especially in Europe. The one criticism has been the apps, and they've addressed that as well. Nokia showed off 23 apps coming to Windows Phone: Instagram, Flipboard, Vine, video editor called Viclone Pro. They've got games, Temple Run 2, My Talking Tom, which is actually me, FIFA 14. Now, all of these are going to vary in their launch dates. Flipboard comes with the tablet, the 2520 at launch, but it won't be coming until later to the Lumia phones. Instagram and Vine coming in the next few weeks. So if you're a Windows Phone user, don't expect to go to the store today and see all of these. But Sarah, does this change the App Store perception for Windows Phone now that they've got Instagram, they've got Flipboard, they've got some of these big names?
I do. I don't think that just having Instagram and Flipboard is necessarily going to get somebody to switch an entire mobile OS. But yeah, I think that particularly Instagram, because even if you're not a big Instagrammer, it's one of those things that It's very ubiquitous with the mobile experience these days. So many people use Instagram on a regular basis, or they reference it, or, you know, they're using it in creative ways. And if you're on a smartphone, that's great in so many ways, but for whatever reason you don't have some sort of a native app, it does kind of diminish the experience. It gives the perception that for whatever reason it's not good enough. And I think that just will bring down any OS. Flipboard, I know people who don't get Flipboard at all. I am not one of them. I use it multiple times a day to read a variety of things. It's a wonderful, wonderful app. And I think it would actually probably look really nice on Windows Phone. So yeah, I think both of these things, it's kind of like Netflix getting cool series, or, you know, it does boost the brand overall.
Yeah, Flipboard looks like a natural for Windows Phone. The interface is very similar. It's just this kind of tiled interface.
Yeah, it looks perfect.
And if you
could
have a live tile that's showing you updated things, that's brilliant. Instagram, obviously very visual, adds a bit of splash and color on a Windows Phone. So if you're seeing all these updates, all your friends having these images posted on Instagram, I think that's going to make the ads for Windows Phone, and when you see it in a store, it's going to make it seem a lot more robust than when you're using an iDevice and you're going, oh, Instagram is in that. I'm going to open that. It'll open up and I can see that. The idea of Windows Phone is supposed to be about seeing everything up front. And these kinds of applications just are perfect for that kind of visual language. If this it did take Windows Phone a long time to get these applications on board. I seriously think that Microsoft and or Nokia threw money at these guys to make these apps or helped them develop it internally. But to have these things, it definitely boosts the brand because they can say, look, you want to put the top 10 versus us? We have all the major apps that you need.
All right, let's take a quick break and thank a new sponsor to the show. Folks in the Twit audience know a lot about technology, obviously. You guys are consuming all of these shows that we have on the network, and chances are you're probably acting as the IT guy for your family. Maybe you want to do it professionally, or maybe you already are, and you're wanting to hone your skills. It can be difficult to know where to start, what to study, what certifications you'll need, how to validate your skills, or if you're already an IT person, vendors release new technologies and new certifications all the time. It's hard to keep up. That's why we're happy to have IT Pro TV as a new sponsor on the network. It's a video network dedicated exclusively to the world of IT. Whether you're looking to jumpstart your career or you're already working in the field, IT Pro TV supplements traditional learning methods in a fun and engaging way that maximizes your learning and gets you prepared for those certification exams. They've got over 100 hours of content, 20 hours being added each week. Big episode library, video courses on CompTIA, Microsoft, Cisco. Courses cover topics like network security, laptop repair, VLANs, subnetting. I know, so that gets some of your blood running out there. Some of you guys are really into that stuff. You want to learn more? Check out IT Pro TV. The hosts are engaging. They share their own experiences because they've done this stuff, and that makes it easier to remember what they're telling you. And it's not just reading a how-to guide. You're actually going to get somebody showing you how to do this stuff. IT doesn't have to be boring. You know that, and these guys know it too. It's an easy and entertaining way to learn. Plus, there's one low monthly price, gives you all access membership with constant updates, no hassle, easy cancellation policy when you're done. If this pro approach looks and sounds familiar to you, there's a reason. The guy behind iPro TV are huge fans of Twit. They have over 10 years of experience in e-learning and were inspired by Leo's NAB talk to start IT Pro TV. They even use the same cameras, microphones, lighting, and a TriCaster. They're doing the same thing. This is great. Check it out. itpro.tv/TNT. Upgrade your brain with the most popular certifications recognized by employers. There's also a free preview on the site if you want to check out some of their videos or their live stream. They've got a live stream. Subscriptions are normally $57 a month or $570 for the entire year, but we have a special offer. Because they're huge fans of Twit, and they know you are too, if you sign up between now and the end of the year using the code TNT50, you'll receive 50% off your subscription for the lifetime of your account. That's only $28.50 a month. Or $285 for a year. itpro.tv/TNT. Use that code TNT50 to receive 50% off. And give them a big welcome. Let them know on your social networks, on your Twitters. Hey, IT Pro TV, thanks for supporting Tech News Today. It's good to have them on the show. BlackBerry Messenger arrived yesterday in a flood of confusion. Not really confusion, actually. People were pretty excited that it's back, IS.
Yeah, less confusion this time because the first rollout didn't work out so well. So BlackBerry rolled out its BlackBerry Messenger service for iOS and Android. It's live. It's ready. The company says that 5 million users have downloaded the app after 8 hours of its introduction. And to avoid the server issues BlackBerry had before, BlackBerry is using a reservation system. So that will stop all kinds of problems it had earlier. BlackBerry said that 6 million people had signed up to get updates about the app before its launch, and 1 million Android users were using the unreleased version of BlackBerry Messenger that was out for like a little bit in September. According to the report, back in March, there were 60 million BlackBerry Messenger users around the world. So let's do some not great math here. If you assume no overlap, which is obviously not true, BlackBerry Messenger would have something like 65 million users. And then I saw this other story popping around saying that WhatsApp at Nokia World, the CEO of WhatsApp, Jan Klurum, said that WhatsApp now has 350 million active users. We've been looking at BlackBerry's pending sale. Now, I'm thinking, should any company that is seriously looking at BlackBerry's messaging service, which analysts have valued somewhere around between $3 and $4.5 billion, should they be looking at WhatsApp instead? Because there were all these rumors that Google wanted to buy WhatsApp for about $1 billion. Sarah, what do you think?
WhatsApp is huge for sure. You know, they say 350 million active users. Let's talk about what active means. But just if you're going to compare at face value the two numbers, that's one of these things about BlackBerry Messenger that I've been thinking for some time is, yes, I understand that it's a strong part of the BlackBerry suite at least on the software side. I know that that people have thought it's a good product, particularly in certain countries, certain markets. But increasingly, and this has not just been like an overnight thing, this has been over a number of years, we have lots of competitors. And an app like WhatsApp is wildly popular. And it's not even just, I don't even think it's so much that WhatsApp figured it all out. It's like, this is the best messenger ever to be. It's just that people simply moved on. There are a lot of other alternatives. And BBM, just like the rest of BlackBerry, would have to like beat back some market share. And that just has never shown to go very well.
Yeah, it's a simple matter of math, right? BlackBerry Messenger was only available on BlackBerry. And if BlackBerry has a dwindling percentage of the market share, and you know, a very small single digit percentage of the market share, not that many people can use it. If WhatsApp is available on Android, boom, 80% of the market share right there. You're of course you're going to dwarf BlackBerry Messenger. The question is, can BlackBerry Messenger gain back some of its old users that have switched over to Android?
But that's the story of BlackBerry in general. It's the same story over and over. And that's why I'm like, you know, this is like, we're pointing to something. Well, you know, BBM is still a big deal, but it's like, is it? It doesn't really seem like it's a big deal on a global scale at all.
Yeah, I was looking at some stories and they're like, if this was 2010, this news is great. BlackBerry Messenger gaining 5 million people. Mm-hmm. It's on iOS and Android. We have an open ecosystem. You can talk every which way. But that would be 3 years ago. So this is a really late entry in a very crowded field about cross-platform communication, especially because, like we mentioned, WhatsApp runs on iOS, runs on BlackBerry, runs on like pretty much any device, and Android, that is. So they're going to maintain that number. But the question is, does BlackBerry still have anything worthwhile? $3 billion for their services business. If you have money burning a hole in your pocket and you're Google or you're Cisco or you're SAP, I don't know why they'd be seriously looking at BlackBerry Services Division if they want to get a large user base. Because what's the end goal? Is it users? Is it about having to be the world's communication method? What's the end goal?
Yeah, I mean, you've got Line, you've got KakaoTalk, you've got WeChat, you've got WhatsApp. If BlackBerry Messenger, as we beat this point to death, but if they had come out before the rise of those, when everyone in the world still used BlackBerries, right? That was BlackBerry's last defense was, well, we're still very popular in a lot of parts of the world. And now that's not even true anymore. So they could have been something. But on the other side of that, there's still an entry point for somebody new. Samsung really wants to do this, right? They created their own messaging system. It hasn't really taken off. Maybe it makes sense for Samsung to wade in here and buy BlackBerry Messenger to get it available across platforms.
Oh, Tom, you chat on hater. Nobody's ever been called a chat on hater, I think.
No,
I
have no opinion on chat on or Facebook Messenger, for that matter. All right, let's talk about Microsoft reportedly getting into another area of wearable computing, not watches.
Not spot watches. Yeah, let's throw that joke away. Yeah, so there's I saw a couple of wearable technology stories today, putting them together. Wall Street Journal saying that Microsoft's testing prototypes of that internet-connected eyewear, similar to Google Glass, to compete with Google, Samsung, and Apple. And when you look at the Wall Street Journal report, that's pretty much the entirety of the detail. There's nothing else other than it may be, it could be destined for anything else. The Verge article discussed potentially it being part of the Kinect glasses that was mentioned at some point. That could be a 2014 market. Meanwhile, though, Bloomberg does have a little bit more on HTC's upcoming wearable, and that'd be an Android-powered smartwatch that can take pictures. You know, I don't know which way they're going to do it. Maybe it'll be like Samsung. The release would be the second half of 2014. The same Bloomberg report says that Chairwoman Cher Wang held a town hall-style meeting telling HTC that it needs to improve its customer focus. Now, HTC obviously would not respond on the rumor when contacted by Bloomberg News. All right, Tom, which company's got a better chance of succeeding at wearables? Is it Microsoft or is it HTC?
Microsoft. although, frankly, that's sort of a Hobson's choice there. I don't know that either one of them are my top choice for succeeding at wearable computing. But Microsoft has a great shot at it. They also have a great shot of being a good tablet maker, too. And they haven't quite got there yet. They're getting better at it. HTC, that seems like a long shot.
The longest shot in all of tech.
They should absolutely try this, but yeah, I mean, they need
should
a
they?
Long shot right now.
Well,
yeah, because everything for HTC is a long shot right now. So if they can get this right, it could save them.
Oh, no. Just no, HTC. I agree, sure. Go where the trends are. But there's no way HTC, and perhaps Lightning will strike me for saying this, there's just no way that HTC is going to be successful here. I see no scenario in life that HTC is going to have a smartwatch that's going to trump anything else anyone's doing. Microsoft totally has a chance. Microsoft can put together nice hardware. Yes, you're right. The tablet market, there's still a lot of gains to be made, but it's not as if the company's going anywhere. They've got a track record that is sometimes proven to be quite good as far as hardware goes. And yes, the HTC One is a really nice phone, but the company's not doing well. I mean, let's be honest. This is not going to go well for HTC.
I think HTC actually has a better chance than Microsoft because nothing has convinced me that people are going to wear a product on their face. Now, in the past, obviously, I'm wearing glasses, so I'm actually wearing regular glasses, and I need them to see.
He says with a product on his face.
Yes, a product that helps me see. Now, I don't need to see into the internet all the time. Google Glass seems like an interesting idea, and as a nerd, I'm really interested in that, but I don't think that's going to make a giant splash like a watch could. HTC, I think, because they're so desperate that they have to be thinking about how on earth are we going to convince people to take our wristwatch, our HTC One watch, whatever it's going to be, and wear it all the time. They're probably more likely to be way more open than something like Samsung with the Gear, where they're like, $400, and it works with two devices or three devices, however limited that might be. So if HTC is going to try this, they might be pulling out all the stops. I don't know if you're going to get, like, maybe it doesn't have to have, maybe it could be its own data, have its own data plan. Maybe it's its own phone, kind of like the LG smartwatches of the old days, where you could take a call from your wrist, which I thought was a little silly. I think Microsoft just has enough money that they can, this device will probably outlast the HTC Watch because Microsoft can keep throwing money at it. And one day, if it's for the Kinect, by the way, if it's for Xbox, I think it'll do fine. But I don't think it's going to be a consumer
device. You've recast the question now. It's not about HTC versus Microsoft. You're just saying that glasses, you don't think glasses are a good thing versus watches. And there's no evidence that Microsoft isn't also making a watch. I don't think we've heard anything about HTC making any glasses, but I don't know. I think there is a market for glasses. I think a lot of people are very excited about them, and I think it's like camera phones, which I thought were stupid, but eventually people want them enough they find a way to make them useful. And camera phones are
serious crow on that one, Tom Merritt.
Yeah, that instant messaging. Those were both things that I was like, these are dumb. Why would anyone want to do this? And that's why I don't criticize any of this stuff.
Fair enough.
All right, let's shift gears into the randomizer. Jason, can you just pull that over into five? We had a straw poll today with our live audience. Thank you, live audience, for getting up early today for us in advance of that Apple announcement. 54% of you chose IBM's Watson being better at diagnosing cancer than human doctors. It's kind of a follow-up story for us, right? We talked about Watson becoming, among other things, a doctor's assistant. Mm-hmm. And we have a Wired story today saying that its medical diagnoses are really good for Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center in New York.
Well, considering that if you have cancer, it's good to know. And for the diagnosis to be as specific as possible, considering that there's a lot of different kinds of treatment and drugs that you would need depending on how you need to get better, I think that we should all have a Watson in our
pocket.
It would be nice, huh? If we could afford it. It should reduce
oncology
healthcare
department.
Costs.
That's
now, see, now, maybe Watson's built into the HTC watch. There you go. Now that you'll actually have to use it because now it can actually monitor your health. Now you got a chance because they're desperate. They'll work
so you're
with Watson.
There's a chance.
The HTC Watson.
They're so desperate.
It's the
they'll
Watson.
Cure your cancer.
That's what I'm saying. Desperation leads to weird partnerships with IBM.
Hey, listen. People are better than computers in a lot of ways, but when it comes down to life-threatening illnesses, bring on the robots.
On your wrists.
But anywhere. Yeah. Bring them on. I'll wear them on my face if I have to.
Oh, okay.
Hey, you know what?
If it's good to know.
I can't dispute the fact that if HTC cured cancer, I think that would turn around their fortunes.
Yeah. That would change things somewhat. You know, sure. If you had said, HTC is also doing a smartwatch, which will cure cancer, does Microsoft have a better chance? I may have answered differently.
And I'll remember that for next time. I'm always going to add that to any question I have. And it'll cure cancer.
HTC stands for Hightail It, Cancer Be Cured.
Good one.
Quick break. Not to cure cancer, sadly, at this point. But we do have a sponsor that can help you out with your finances. Catch-22 of financial life is the better you do, the more complex your finances get. More money, more problems is what we're saying here. Accounts are everywhere. You've got, first you got your savings account, then you get your checking account, then you get your retirement account, then you get your credit cards, and then you got investments and mortgages and loans. How are you supposed to make great investment decisions when you're only seeing one piece of the puzzle at a time? That's hard. You'll make mistakes if you don't have complete intel. Personal Capital changes the game. It combines all your financial accounts, gives you a total real-time snapshot of all your finances. I use it. I get graphs, I get charts, I get reports telling me, here's your net worth, here's whether it's gone up or gone down. I tell you, it's a whole lot better than the investment account thing that I use at telling me like how stuff is doing. PersonalCapital.com/TNT. You can sign up for it for free right now like I did. It takes just a minute. You'll get big dividends, helps you make better investment decisions immediately, and your financial life will be even more complicated tomorrow. So why wait? Sign up now. Absolutely free. PersonalCapital.com/TNT. Get your free Personal Capital account. Smart investing means seeing the big picture. So start today. If you missed it, I'm going to say it slowly for you. PersonalCapital.com/TNT. And give them a big thank you. We thank Personal Capital for their support of Tech News Today. What's on the calendar for tomorrow, Sarah? We got enough going on today.
Yeah, tomorrow we're going to get a little reprieve. But AT&T is announcing their earnings tomorrow, October 23rd. Everybody get ready. It's going to be, I don't know.
A party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to. There's going to be a lot of numbers. Billions will be talked about. You know, every time I look at the, because their stock symbol is T, mm-hmm. I'm always like, oh, it's T-Mobile. AT&T gets me every time. Oh. When
Brand
will I
confusion.
Learn?
Oh. I don't know. Let's check the emails, shall we?
Incoming message.
The message from Joseph, it says, hey, gang. I didn't dispute we're a gang, by the way. This topic has been mentioned a couple of times now, and I was thinking it is possible for that Netflix will be the provider of the on-demand content for cable companies instead of Cox, Comcast, UVerse, and whoever hosting all their own content. It can all be centralized with Netflix. I, too, would pay extra for the add-on. Thanks, guys.
That's an interesting thought, Joseph. Now, for that to work, Netflix would have to bring on a bunch of shows they don't have, right? But it could be a way for Netflix to get some leverage to add shows more immediately if they were also the on-demand provider. Because right now, if you go to those cable companies, they're going to have current shows from different places.
That Netflix was willing to get at least exclusives, but they'd have to be tied forever to these cable companies, and the company doesn't want that.
No,
Netflix doesn't want that.
But they're negotiating, so maybe they could say, hey, y'all, we'll cut you a deal. We'll cut you in on a little of this Netflix money we've been getting.
Yeah.
If you let us be your default app on the device, that's also your on-demand provider. That's a lot of moving parts, though. And
it'd be great
TV
for
world.
Consumers if they could figure something like that out.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Well, thanks for the email, Joe. Appreciate that. Joseph, pardon me. And thank you all for watching and listening and voting in our subreddit, technewstoday.reddit.com, one of the places we look when we decide what stuff we're going to talk about on the show each day. Really appreciate the people who are in there moderating, especially. Thank you, guys. You keep it clean and running well, and it's very helpful. technewstoday.reddit.com. Also, subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/technewstoday. If you're YouTube inclined, we put a lot of cool stuff up there. And you can also go to our website, twit.tv/TNT. Email us, tnt@twit.tv, or give us a phone call with your telephone, 260-TNT-SHOW. Dana Wolman joins us tomorrow. We'll see you then.